sexually oriented content.
With sexually oriented content.
Discretion is advised.
Discretion is advised.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, we're both very excited to welcome back to the show Seth MacFarlane.
How's it going, guys?
The voice, the creator, the brains, the soul behind the Family Guy. And the Family Guy is really... Well, first off, I should get credit for being on to the Family Guy.
Now listen, hold on. Somehow I need to make up to Adam for this fact, because he brings this up every 3 or 4 days.
First off, we got a million of these.
Yeah, but this is one that comes up all the time that I'm getting tired of, because
I've
picked up your crusade, I picked up your banner and run with it.
I know.
So I need a little bit like a resolution of this.
Drew comes in and he'll go, Did you see the Family Guy tonight? I'm saying, well, I've seen every episode 5 times, so I'm guessing I have seen it.
And both of you guys have done the show this season. Adam and Dr. Drew will be a guest starring on Family Guy this season.
The new season airs Sunday, actually a week from today, right? 9 o'clock on Fox. And it's been many years in the making, it feels like. First off, it's a really cool show to get behind, and it's nice because once in a while you hear about the new Vin Diesel Kindergarten Cop movie tops $130 million at the box office, and you're like, is there a God? Yeah, right. Where's God?
Where's God in this?
There's no God. Right. Meanwhile, Arrested Development's on the fence. Doesn't look like it's going to make the cut next year. And it's just like you sort of walk around, you're going, executives are stupid. The audience is stupid. What do you want? It's just they're creating just junk for the masses.
The Odyssey.
Yeah.
The nature of evil in society.
Right.
Well, why does it exist?
Right. Good and evil. The point is the Family Guy comes around. It's a great show. The execs get to it. They kick it around. It goes to a few different nights. Loses the audience. It goes away. But then... like a phoenix, it rises from the ashes, ends up on a Cartoon Network, finds its audience, starts selling millions of DVDs, and the execs wise up. And it's really not since I launched my letter writing campaign for Cagney and Lacey in 1978 have I felt this apart.
I realize you're a big Sharon Gless guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I was 13, but I said that chick has it. I knew what it was back then, and we didn't have emails back then. I had to write them all with a burnt stick.
We didn't have computers. The typewriter was one of those little.
No,
it wasn't even electric. Your house?
Let me
are you kidding?
Tell you something. The Corollas were still 30 years away from a typewriter.
Yeah.
we were using Gutenberg's press.
I knew that that we were onto something when I heard the UCLA marching band at a football game this season playing the Family Guy theme song.
That was one of the coolest things I think I've ever heard.
I was sitting there and I thought, oh my God, this is cool. That's what I thought.
were you at that game?
No. I heard about this from Drew, and it was just amazing. It's every little piece of information like that I hear to this day. The first thought that goes through my head is, God, people are actually watching this thing. That's great.
Yeah, you've arrived with the band.
Inferiority complex that's so deep rooted.
Yeah, all these good. Years. Keep you hungry.
You'll be well suited to this little. Three of us.
We don't want to see you
get along well.
Fat,
I want to get along so
fat
well.
And soft. You need the eye of the geek. You have to think you don't have money and you can't get laid so you can keep your creative juices flowing.
That's really what it comes down to. You have to constantly beat yourself up I'm not good enough at anything, and you will be.
They talk about that eye of the tiger as it pertains to a fighter. Maybe someone does some manual work, or maybe in business. But in the creative endeavors, you need the eye of the nerd. You have to always feel not good enough, like you weren't going to get picked for the team, like you couldn't get a prom date. That keeps you hungry. When the nerd guy gets some cool frames and some cool shoes and starts driving a convertible Porsche, he loses his creative juices.
It's over.
Yep.
Keep the eye of the nerd, my friend.
Yeah. That's the task.
Yeah. You got to keep it real. Like, you got to do some nerd activities, like go wait in line for Star Wars movie.
You know,
my get shot down over the internet with some chicks.
I'm pretty up on my Star Trek quotes, so I think I got it under control.
All right,
yeah, I'll listen to that.
He spends time in Rhode Island his time off. Don't forget.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, that's right. And now, where's your whole family? And by
they're all out in California now. They followed me out here. Yeah.
I ate quahog this summer.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You ate a quahog.
I had
clam.
Quahog. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's a specially like baked thing.
Yeah,
put in a bake deal. I never had quahog before.
Do you have siblings?
I have one younger sister who actually is a member of the cast of American Dad through none of my doing, believe
sure,
it or not.
No, could it be? yeah, it'd be impossible. No, well, first off, there's never been any nepotism in this town. That's for goddamn sure. Say that right now. Really? How did she get on? How did
well, you
work?
Know, it was actually kind of nice because she did the rough animatic for us as a temporary voice, mm-hmm. and then we recast her. And Fox came to me and said, you know, we're not sure that the new voice is working with the character, and we'd like to use your sister if that's all right with you. And it was great because I was just like, yeah, sure, God, yeah. It's the easiest person in the world to direct.
I had the we'd like to use your sister request of me many years ago, and I was like, well, I gotta be, as long as I'm in for a taste.
They asked about
fine.
That too, but that's where I drew the line. I said no.
You know, I have done that, done some animation where they have that placeholder voice that's your voice. Oftentimes, in my low self-esteem world, it actually sounds better than mine. The stupid engineer guy going, rrr, rrr.
I always think it's better.
It sounds better
every
and
time.
I'm marginally insulted by how bad he's trying to make himself sound.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Seth MacFarlane in the studio tonight, the Family Guy. Just now, let me ask you this, Seth, and I don't know if you thought about this, but now that it's getting back on the air and it's getting back on a network and it's going into prime time and everything, is there pressure? And in a way, is there a part of you that likes just sort of the cool fringe part where
absolutely.
You get to be the underdog and everyone gets to come up to you and go, "This show was so cool. Those guys were so stupid. You're taking off there. You should make a million of them."
You're reading my mind.
Thank
you're
you.
You're reading my mind. I'll tell you.
You should kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a legend.
Exactly.
You'd be like Eddie and the Cruisers. You come back to do another animated series in 10 years.
Yeah. I'll buy a motorcycle and get up the courage to drive it off the curb.
Seth and the Cruisers. That doesn't work.
No, I worry about that all the time, particularly now because there's been so much promotion and so much exposure that I do start to worry that we're, you know, is this no longer going to be, if we go on the air and get, you know, continue to get a six share, then we'll be fine. But I do worry that there is a coolness factor.
There's a
that
hype. And
I watched the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory beer version tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
You do a couple of those, you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about.
Well, the shows are the same. I mean, the shows are you know.
It's is it as if you'd picked up right where you left off?
That's the idea. We didn't change anything. We didn't want to revamp anything or spruce anything up. It's the exact same, same show.
Wow. I read here that The Family Guy is the fourth largest DVD seller of all TV shows.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's interesting.
Good piece of trivia.
After The Man Show and then fourth?
Yeah. Then there's Crank Yankers. And then there's
What's Happening?
Red-Handed. That's another show I did a voiceover for. That's what got me minus 4 stars in The Post. Manchu only got me minus 3, someone reminded me the other day.
So they do minus stars?
Oh, for Adam.
For me. They're all out the minus stars. I owe stars.
And, wow.
And
you get the little turkey.
I get minus stars. As a matter of fact, if it was a report card, I would take an eraser to the minus or put a plus by it and say, you know, Dad, look, plus 4 stars. I'd do just a quick little modification.
That's what I do with the Entertainment Weekly reviews. I make the D look like a B and I send it to my parents.
Smart, yeah. Yeah, you get the minus 4 stars and the minus 3. I know, and by the way, if you're going to give minus 3, just go ahead and minus 4. Like, It was horrible and horrific,
they're not monsters, Adam.
it was horrific, but I never felt like I was in danger from watching. So I'm only going to give it minus 3 stars. And by the way, what does that do to the guys you gave 1.5 or 2 stars to?
Yeah, now, what is that?
They're plus 6.
Makes them self-righteous.
Yeah, they're on top of the world. Let me ask this, another thing. Seth has a beautiful grand piano, probably a Steinway, in his living room. which he likes to perch himself on just about every night, playing for the ladies with a brandy snifter.
Mm. Well, I'm going to come sing when we do.
Right. Drew, we found out tonight. Drew was an opera singer.
Anderson, he had never heard me sing.
Drew
helped me out with
torch songs while you wax poetic at the 88s. You're just tickling the 88s, Drew.
Like Sinatra and Crosby in High Society. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, kids.
Is Anderson there?
Anderson? Oh,
that's it.
Listen to that.
Years of training.
Yep.
But set to play the piano would be great.
Who's playing the piano here?
The man sounds good.
Some guy that Ben Stein had hired.
Oh, in person. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Pretty soon, Seth's going to see all the cheating.
This is the point where he flings his cape off into the audience and the chicks tear it apart.
I lost my virginity to that song.
All right.
Anyway, well, if you ever get invited to one of Seth's...
I would love that. That'd be so much fun.
I went, but I couldn't find Seth. Word has it he was on the roof getting stoned the entire time. But I did hobnob with many of the other folks over there. So we have questions for
Seth. Lots of calls
tonight.
For Seth, yeah.
Yeah, which is...
You want to start with that or just go to the mix it up a little bit?
All right, let's see.
This is the most interesting one.
All right, let's talk to Victor, who's 17. Victor?
Yeah, hey, guys. Adam?
There we go.
Hey, you are
Victor, 17. You're on with Seth MacFarlane.
Hey. I just wanted to know how you came up with the concept of the characters for the show.
Boy, it's funny, and I never get asked that.
I think I can answer that now.
No, I grew up in New England, and you know, I notice a lot in sitcoms they deal with the Midwest, they deal with the South, they deal with L.A., and no one ever goes near New England. I think Costello was the last.
They do a lot of New York, a lot of L.A., all the stereotypes.
They're going to do Boston or Massachusetts if they do New England.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Rhode Island is, you know, I spent a lot of time in Rhode Island, went to college there, and it's got so much character that, you know, I figured when I produce something that kind of takes me back to where I spent a lot of my youth.
Seems like New England in the area in general has just been on the map like nobody's business over the last like 4 years, maybe
because
2 years.
Because the Red Sox and the Patriots.
Seems like every other guy I meet now is from that area.
You know, some of that is.
Maybe people are just lying.
No, you notice higher education really came on in the like 60s in that area. Mm-hmm. It was not just elitist education, it became higher education. And so people started flocking there and then zooming out to the rest of the country.
Well, I was in New Orleans for New England's first Super Bowl victory, and that's when I realized that almost everyone from that neck of the woods was an a-hole. Because they were not celebrating.
Look at Seth. I'm
a complete a-hole.
They were not celebrating the Pats' victory. They were looking for Rams fans.
Well, it's right there in the dialect. You know, there's nothing gentle about, you know, you can't pack over there. You know, that's a belligerent dialect.
Right. But somewhere, and I'm trying to think of when it was, it must have been about 6 years ago, celebrating a victory became abusing the other team.
Taunting the losers.
Yeah. I always liked that one. Nobody thought we could do it. Nobody. None of you said we could do it. The only people thought we'd do it are right here in this locker room. We're the only people. Really? There's a lot of money bet. A lot of folks bet on it. No one, and then they shocked the world. I like that one too.
Right,
when people make the pronouncement that they've just shocked the world. All right, let's see. Ooh, double D's. Here we go. Jill.
Yeah.
You're 13.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
13.
At the age.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a double D.
Bonesy.
And I was wondering, how long is it going to take until there's neck and back issues? Like, because they're not...
Well, yeah, you're 13.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. No, see the difference?
What? She doesn't have that little girl voice?
She doesn't have that voice. She has a young person's voice.
Uh-huh. Old woman's boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jill, it's hard to say. It depends how big the rest of you are, how your back hygiene is. Some women can go through life with that and not have back and neck problems. But obviously, the longer you go, the more likely there is to be trouble.
What would you do to strengthen your back?
Pilates?
Yeah. You would?
Yeah, I would do core exercises and, you know,
just
ballet would be that kind of thing. Things where you're working your posture and your core muscles.
But they put you in that unitard and everyone goes nuts.
I know. She wouldn't be in the ballet.
But she wouldn't be in the ballet.
No.
What would she do?
She'd be just
practicing. Even that's enough.
I know, for you.
That's enough. I'd blow that codpiece right out.
Indeed you would.
And I wasn't even involved with dance. I just wear a codpiece. You know, fill out the gym shorts a little bit.
Of course.
You know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, why wear a cup?
It's just an affectation. Cups are out.
Cups are out. Wear a codpiece and a merkin. Two or three merkins under it. I would have a merkin like in my car, one in my gym locker, multiple merkins, multiple cod pieces.
See, that's just ostentation.
And a sword and a cape, and that would be it. During the summer, of course. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so Jill has no idea what merkin or cod piece or even sword and cape is.
Thankfully,
but she's laughing politely.
You sound funny, Adam. And so, Jill, why are you worrying about
like
this
Bob
now?
Hope. People used to take for granted that Bob Hope told a joke.
That's right.
Why are you worried about this now? You're just sort of anticipating trouble?
Yeah, because they're not stopping growing. Like, I've hit puberty already, and they've, mm-hmm. you know, I'm stopping my height, but, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. like 5'2", somewhere around there. I haven't mm-hmm. measured in a while. Anyway.
So you're tiny with this large.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we all have our crosses to bear.
Yeah, so really what's motivating your call is how difficult it is to grow into your body and your female peers look at you differently and your male peers look at you differently. It's not so much about your back. It's about living with this and the way people treat you when you look like that.
Well, you know, people make a big deal out of it, or you make a big deal out of this. But, Drew, what would you rather have, this or horrible skin?
No, that's right.
And
by the way, you know, people would give somebody like Jill advice such as, well, it's your body, it's beautiful, live with it. No, you know what? I'd say you kind of dress it down. If you don't like the way people look, just there's ways to kind of take it easy.
Put a barrel on.
Yeah.
For Miss Barrel suspender humor.
There will be a time.
Remember that? It was funny.
Oh, do I?
Everybody was funny.
You're in my wheelhouse now, buddy.
So poor, you had to wear a barrel. Really?
Suspenders.
Some secondhand slacks would be...
Like a burlap sack
wouldn't
do it.
More expensive than a barrel?
Burlap sack is just too revealing.
How about a towel? You got to wear a barrel? And there is a hole in that barrel, you know. Those are
the days when you worked out by lifting big triangular iron weights.
You don't see people in barrel all the time?
Just that one Denver fan.
The stevedores down by the docks.
He's there with the hobos with those sacks with the white spots on it. The red sacks with the white spots. You know,
the only advantage to wearing a barrel is if you fall into a river that's going over some falls.
Perfect.
You'll be in solid shape. You just tuck yourself in like a turtle. And speaking of people that go over that Niagara Falls in the barrel.
Also out. What happened to that?
It's not nearly as popular as it was back in the day, but... Back in the day, and this is one of those things where, you know, well, it's like, well, in the old days, the Indy 500, the cars only averaged 85 miles an hour, but they had canvas helmets. So it's sort of, now they're 210 miles an hour, but they have a roll bar and space age, this and that. The falls are the same as they ever were, but people used to really go over in a barrel. Yeah. Now they go over in a space shuttle.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Gemini capsule.
Yeah, right. It's made out of composite materials and, you know, fiber, honeycomb and Kevlar, you know. I'd do that, and I'd get drunk and do that now.
Right,
the barrel,
contact.
The barrel was the bitch. And by the way, could you think of anything more uncomfortable than being in a barrel and there's no viewing port? So you're in this barrel, and you're upstream a mile, and you get in this barrel, and it's like all you're doing is waiting until the ground falls out from underneath you. I mean, I would just crap myself. That would be my padding. He was saved by his own fecal matter. If not for the fecal matter, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pitch black.
Yeah.
You're just being tossed.
You're preaching to the choir, man.
And have you thought about this? Could you think of anything worse?
No. And there's nothing to cushion your fall. It's
onto the rocks, basically.
But my whole thing would be like, if I'm going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, you roll me out 4 feet before the edge of the falls.
Right.
I don't want to go upstream a mile and just freak out.
Yeah.
And by the way, decide 5 feet from the end, I don't want to do it. Bad idea.
Those are what we found out about people jumping off the bridges.
This is horrible. And by the way, we discussed. How dare you, we. They interviewed these people that, you know, thousands of people kill themselves from jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge almost every year. And it's probably into the tens of thousands since it was built in the late 20s or something like that. But anyway, three or four people have survived who've made the leap and actually survived. And they all say that the first thing they thought of when they leaped is, I wish I hadn't done this.
Really?
Which makes me think a high percentage of the thousands of people that did actually die had the same thought did their thing. And that's why it's important to not kill yourself, but to get really effed up and do it at your folks' house.
I see,
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Send a message, get so jacked up that you don't even know what you're doing, and don't get into that jumping off stuff. You know what I mean? What is that, by the way? The people that kill themselves by jumping off a skyscraper, you don't think you might have some feelings on the...
Yeah.
You want to go that way? So many good ways to go. Nice OD.
Yeah, I can't even handle the Pirates of the Caribbean drop at Disneyland. I get a little
You go on that flume, that log jammer. You vomit. Yeah.
I went to Magic Mountain this weekend.
Nobody cares, Charlie.
No, but listen. I know that. I know that. But at my age, you get headaches and
you can't
nausea.
Do that.
And it's like,
Good for you for even doing it. I can't go near those.
My
things.
Kids, they go to this stuff like, that's going again. I'm like, no way.
What did you do?
Can't go in there.
Which ones did you do?
I didn't do any of the huge ones. But, you know, then they're taking the stuff where they pull you up on a pulley and let you drop you and that stuff. Yeah. Like, no.
What is fun about that? There's nothing. It's like pushing somebody off something.
Here's their dad going, guys, you have so much faith in technology. Don't you even consider these things might break or something might happen?
No. Well, here's the thing. Let me say this, Drew. I'm no neurologist, but they say, you know, stress kills, right? Now, there's a very small part of your brain that realized you paid admission to get into this park, and then there's the rest of your body, every other fiber in your body, that just thinks your car's rolling over an embankment or something. I mean, your body goes into death. Yeah. Shock, freeze mode.
There is this strange thing that humans have, which is sort of an impulse to play with all that. There's a euphoria associated with it.
Do you think if we hooked you up to functional MRI, your brain activity on free fall would be any different than the people jumping off, killing themselves off the San Francisco Golden
Gate Bridge? But remember what they go from when they jump off. They go from profoundly depressed to sort of escalated, their mood goes up, and they think, why'd I do this? And that's, in fact, that's exactly what people are playing with. It causes a euphoria.
I'm just saying if stress, having a tough day at work can shave a day off your life,
kind of
this could take years off.
Different kind of stress.
I guess the advice would be try it with a net first.
Yeah, I mean jumping off the bridge.
Yeah. See how it's try it on the size.
Bungee. Yeah, do it off something small, like a kitchen chair.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens and work your way up to the table.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't like that free fall thing. And the last time I did that free fall thing over at Magic Mountain.
Yeah, I did that.
When I slide you out.
I like that.
Yeah, I was having a great time until on the way down, the thing jammed and stopped.
Well, that's how it works.
No, but mine stopped and got stuck there, had a malfunction. And as I looked back over my head, I could see the next one perched up there.
Oh my God.
And they were like, all right, we've stopped the ride. And I thought, I'm going to get crushed by the next, because my car, it was a good 10 minutes sitting up there waiting for them to reboot the thing. And I kept thinking that thing's just going to, so it was a whole kind of reel there. That's the real amusement park, where you get out to the end, like, we have a mouth, oh no!
New reality show, perfect.
That would scare the real out of everybody. All right, Seth MacFarlane is here from the Family Guy, world's greatest animated, nay, the world's greatest TV show, nay, world's greatest form of entertainment ever.
God bless you.
We'll take a quick break, be right back after this. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Seth MacFarlane is in tonight. dear friend, Seth MacFarlane. doing all the voices.
Drops.
We need Stewie drops.
Oh, we can get those for you.
So,
he's 25K now to do that.
So versatile. So versatile, Seth is. I mean, doing Peter, doing Stewie, doing Brian, doing... Hey, I could see maybe Brian and maybe Stewie, maybe Brian and Peter, but going from Peter to Stewie.
I'm telling you, and the musical part, the singing of all that stuff, that is nutty.
Well, it's an interesting...
that is the part that's impressive.
It's an interesting
thing.
This
is why I come here.
I was thinking about Matt and Trey doing a lot of singing and sort of theatrical stuff later on with South Park and other animated shows going that direction. I wonder if it's the same mind that thinks up, that is attracted to animated stuff and that same sort of creative part of your brain that you use that can work musically, both the musical and the animated.
Well, it's also one of the few mediums that people will accept big production numbers in anymore. I mean, it's, you know, in movies, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. On television, it's, you know, rarely works. But, I mean, you know, cartoons, it's still far enough removed from reality that people will... They'll go for it.
It's the only time you hear big orchestras anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever.
There's only like a handful of shows that, there's only like five or six shows that use a live orchestra. One of them being Family Guy, but it's, you know, it's, I mean, you have to have that. To
Which
do
reminds
those.
Us, there's a Family Guy CD coming out.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
In a couple of days. Family Guy live in Vegas.
We're going to play something off that, hopefully, if we remember to, if we stop talking during the break, nobody said you got your car.
Is that songs that we've heard on previous Family Guy episodes or new songs?
It's not. It's mostly it's 95% new songs. There's an extended 3-minute version of the Family Guy theme.
How the hell did he do that while he was doing 35 new episodes?
Well, most of it, it took us about a year to do. Most of it was done before we started work again. And the music is by Mr. Walter Murphy, who... you know, from the Fifth of Beethoven.
Sure.
Was also a orchestrator for Doc Severinsen at one time.
Wow.
And just put together this amazing, you know, 55-piece orchestra. And it's, you know, it's fart jokes set to a lush musical backdrop.
So there's, well, we
strings
describe
and horns.
This show
strings,
in the same
horns.
Way.
Yeah. Strangely enough.
now, are there any covers of any Dean Martin or Sinatra
there's
like that?
There's a couple of oldsy timesy type covers that we've kind of spruced up, you know, that hopefully added some stuff that will be, you know, it's a combination of edgy stuff and old-fashioned stuff, but...
Well, Seth has one in his car, which is actually an armored car, which he now drives. Actually, they back it up and they drop money off at his house. Every day, back the Brinks truck up. Never comes in the driveway forward. Even in a circular driveway, they'll back up the Brinks truck. I know.
He has so much power that it doesn't even go beep, beep.
No, he had that eliminated. Yeah, it makes a cha-ching.
They just back it into the cave.
Cha-ching. That'd be an awesome sound. Like, you know what that'd do? Cars that back up. Like the backup beep thing, instead of just being the annoying meep, they ought to all have their own sound. Like armored trucks should have the cha-ching.
Or make them like voice rings.
The
like,
garbage truck could have like Scatman Crothers.
There you go.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
just rhyming or singing. Like I would go for it. And you would know what size and what type of truck was coming at you. You know the difference between an ice cream truck backing up and a garbage truck backing up. Yeah.
Perfect.
The Good Humor Bell would be.
Yeah, you're a solution guy. You're
I
an
really
answers
am.
Man.
Oh. See, the only difference is I'm serious. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 18.
18, that's right.
What's up?
First of all, I just wanted to say, Adam, Drew, you guys rock. Seth, big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And also, Seth, I was at the Stewie Soundalike contest. I was the guy who was number 9 and not number 4.
Oh.
Oh, God. Boy. Yeah. Wait. You're the guy who they told had it, and then they made the correction and said, no, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. It was this other guy?
Oh,
yeah,
that
was that you?
Oh,
yeah, that was nasty. My apologies.
It's wow. Someone sent me the signed script for North by North Quahog, signed by everyone there, so that kind of...
Oh, well, it's good to know that that's out there floating around a week before air.
Sam, can you do some mediocre Stewie for us?
I think mediocre best describes it. Yeah, apparently I wasn't even good enough for third place. I'll do what I did at the contest. Look, you know what? It's so easy to take a shot at Jay Leno. Look, the fact of the matter is, Leno's up every night with no material and is charming.
You know what? That's so much bull. I so do not sound like that at all.
Yeah,
at all. That's David Hyde Pierce you're doing.
Very nice.
Yeah, Drew, that was a solid Stewie.
You're solid. Nice.
Solid. Did a nice
I
job
win that contest.
There.
That's pretty damn good.
Wow. That is awesome, Drew.
You
really are a fan.
I'm telling you. I went home practice in front of the mirror all the time.
It's extraordinary.
Wow.
You should hear my Peter.
Do you do good, Peter?
Here he goes,
you know I do, Adam.
What?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Crazy.
That was awesome. That's unbelievable.
Even though that was kind of mediocre, actually. Yeah. No, that was solid, Drew.
It was mediocre. Yeah.
Wow. You look like a minor bird. What happened to minor birds? Dude, minor birds used to be around. They're not really around anymore.
I think what we got here is a subdermal hematoma.
Wow, that is... And now you work in the medical jargon. That's amazing.
Wow. Awesome, Drew. Subdermal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember minor birds?
Yeah, I do.
What happened?
I don't know.
They're not around, are they?
They're all over Hawaii.
Everyone used to have minor birds.
People used to have minor birds.
They talk.
They talk better than the parrots.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah.
They can, but like where the parrots just repeat, you know, what they hear, the minor birds actually think stuff up.
Let me say this about minor birds. Gone the way of the dodo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And souffle humor. Gone.
He didn't ask his question.
Who cares? We're having a good time.
Souffle humor. And those bicycles with the big, giant front wheels.
That's right.
What happened to that?
God's name happened to those.
Wow.
Sam.
Yeah.
What was your question?
My question was about the origin of Peter and Brian, because I noticed that they sound very similar to Larry and Steve, who were your, I don't know if that was your first
show
or something, but... Yeah, they resemble them a lot. I was wondering if that's where they pretty much came from.
Yeah, pretty much exactly. Larry and Steve was a short that I did when I was working at Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
And yeah, Peter and Brian are I mean, they're if you listen to the voices, they're almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
They pretty much are directly evolved from those two characters. Well, yeah.
What did you do at Hanna-Barbera?
See, Adam has a thing about Hanna-Barbera. Oh, has he ever talked to you about that?
Well, they cranked out a lot of crap in the 70s and 60s, but piles, miles, and
Fonz,
piles.
Fonz and the Happy Days Gang, was that crap? You remember that show?
Well, no, that was good sound. Jeez. That was
Fonzie,
right
Fonzie, Fonzie, and I think it was their actual voices. It was Henry Winkler and Ron Howard and Potsy and Donnie Most. And the premise was that it was the Happy Days Gang, but they had somehow come into possession of a time machine. And they would travel to different time periods each week. Never mind the fact they're already in the 50s.
Right. Yeah, they're already in a different time period.
It cuts up some slack. They had the wisdom to hire this guy.
That's true. Right? They probably S-canned him, too.
That's true.
Laverne and Shirley in the Army is another one.
What wow. What about, did they? Who did the Brady Bunch?
The cartoon?
Yeah.
What God, what was, what I don't remember. Was that the...
Oh, it was a classic, and they had a magpie named Merlin
who
flew via helicopter on some feather on top of his head inexplicably. And then when you want to talk about inexplicable, they had a panda bear that played the guitar that just sort of, two of them that just danced around. It's like, how much peyote do you have to do before you create a show? I mean, it's one thing to be high and create a show. It's another thing just to be like, you know, American Indian. I mean, you're like Jim Morrison in the desert.
Right. Remember
panda bears? What? It's not like there's a Brady Bunch episode that had a panda bear or a magpie in it.
Yeah. Remember Rubik the Amazing Cube?
Oh,
remember that one?
Yeah.
How do we make a cartoon, a Saturday morning cartoon, out of this, they said to themselves. And the premise was that it's three Hispanic kids who find a Rubik's Cube, and whenever they get the colors on all the right sides, which they do astonishingly fast.
They get to be white. I saw that. I was offended. Yeah.
A little blue face would appear on the cube and help them solve crimes.
Sure. That's all about solving
crimes. What else would it be?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's my whole thing. So much of that stuff was just horrible junk. Like, I don't know who did Hong Kong Phooey, and I don't
know. That was Hanna-Barbera.
Who did that?
Grape Ape.
That was Hanna-Barbera.
Wally Gator. Great theme songs, but that's where it all ended. Yep. And there's this horrible, I mean, just the Hair Bear Bunch. It just come up with stuff that rhymed. Grape Ape? What the F is that?
Lippy the Lion and Party Har Har.
Those old guys just have to have sacks and sacks of money from cranking out just like an endless Duke Law.
Punk and Puss and Mush Mouth.
Yeah, he was like Hillbilly Mice.
Yeah, forgot about that one.
A lot of mileage out of those Mises, you know what I mean?
Pixie and Dixie.
It's all we had. Listen, kids, we didn't have cable or satellite. We were forced to watch junk and just have our minds just, my brain just dried up like a sponge just left in the sun.
There's an old film that we have at the office that came from when I was working at Hanna-Barbera, and it was a promotional film that they did for the premiere of Megilla Gorilla in the 60s, and they basically staged the creation process of the show with Hanna and Barbera and the
bunch. It was all like the original pitch.
Yeah, but it was all pre-written, and they're staring at a picture of Megilla on the wall, just going, where the heck is he supposed to live? You tell us, Megilla. You tell us where you're supposed to live. And one of them goes, hey, wait a second, fellas. How about a pet store? And it's just genius. Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, there was Wheelie and Chopper Bunch or whatever Oh, there's so much junk, Drew. No wonder I'm an idiot.
Penelope Pit Stop.
That's what happened to me. That's what happened.
You.
See,
you.
The Funky Phantom.
Yeah. Oh.
Because the kids love a Revolutionary War era ghost.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a see-through Minuteman. It's awesome. All right. Oh, I feel high talking about this.
Yeah, it feels weird, doesn't it?
All right. We should, we got, threesome. Brandon, a threesome with his wife. Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 39?
29.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on a second. What did you do at Hanna-Barbera, by the way?
Me?
Yeah.
I did a short, Larry and Steve, and then I wrote, most of my time I spent writing for Johnny Bravo.
Huh? Ooh, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least you got it.
Yeah, sort of cut my teeth there.
All right. Well, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're 29.
Yeah.
And you did a threesome with your wife?
Yeah, that's correct. My wife and one of my best friends.
Yeah.
That's boy.
That's
are you calling from the space shuttle?
Yeah.
No, I'm actually driving a tractor trailer. Please forgive me.
Okay. All right.
Shocking.
At this hour.
You had a threesome with your wife, who's your best friend, which...
and your best friend.
Yeah. Oh, and your best friend.
Yes, that was the threesome.
Oh.
In what world? Were you high when you thought this was a good idea, or what happened?
He was effed up, right?
Oh, we've been known to do that on occasion, but that particular night, we were all drinking. But we all soberly planned to do that.
Right. And
well, whose idea was it originally?
It was my idea originally, I'd have to say.
And your best friend had sex with your wife?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
And what were you doing? Just sort of... You were there like...
sometimes I watched, sometimes we were all taking part. It was... it was an idea we all sat around and talked about before.
Well, here's a couple of things. First off,
horrible idea.
It's important that your best friend have a smaller penis than you, because this goes from a disaster to the Hindenburg.
Amazing things about it. It wound up working out in my favor. I was kind of worried about that at first, but.
And all right, so your relationship with your wife is just in trouble now. It's doomed.
You have
What's
kids?
Going on?
What's that?
Hold on a second.
What they call the devil's threesome, isn't it? Two men and a woman?
Driving a tractor trailer, best friend, threesome.
Six kids. 29.
No, I'm going Jew.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta be Jewish.
Or he could be Korean.
Oh, yes. Asian or Jew? Gotta be an Asian or a Jew. Maybe an Asian Jew. Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Asian or Jew?
Neither.
I don't believe it!
I was so ready for a Sherlock Holmes moment.
I don't believe it.
Are you Mormon?
No,
we're kidding.
No.
This is
that Drew drop.
Yeah,
this is super white trash stuff. There's not a Jew or an Asian that would ever participate in this nonsense. They're too good. Those people.
We did own a trailer, but we are in genuine vital siding now.
All right, put some siding on. So, what do you want?
What's the question?
I was just kind of wondering. Like, me and my wife, we have a really great time with it, and we laugh and joke around about it, and a really, really good relationship. And actually, I'm kind of like Drew. I don't even watch sports or anything like that anymore. I just like to get home and spend time with her, and we just hang out.
Right.
We both have things in our past.
No kidding.
You know, she's had some physical abuse, and I had some things go on as well when I was younger. But we consider ourselves slightly screwed up, but it... Is there...
All right. Well, listen, do you have any kids?
And this is going to be negative for you, but yes, we have one child.
All right.
I did have the surgery to get myself fixed, so nice. I don't... So
all right, good.
Well, what's your question? Right? Let's try to focus in on the question. What's the question here?
The question was, basically, can two people be... just slightly screwed up, but kind of be a match for each other, like screwed up in a way that...
Yes.
But here's the deal, Brandon.
But true, you're a strong believer in that.
Yes. Well, no, I believe that two screwed up people can work things out. And
no, you believe it can be a vital part of a relationship.
No, of course. It's a source of passion sometimes, is that the stuff from your past. But the fact, though, is you're using drugs, you're using alcohol, you're engaging in threesomes. Mm. No relationship survives that.
How do you know they're using drugs and alcohol?
I just smell it. Mm. Ask them.
Mm. Brandon, you guys doing any speed or anything like that?
Are we losing?
No. Maybe
the fact is, this is an alcoholic. That does this stuff.
No, really?
Yeah, he's doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah. I mean, they're maybe not right this minute, maybe not all the time, but this is part of that whole process. And all the chaotic choices they're making will bring them down.
So once in a while, somebody calls a show and tries to pass off a behavior that we know no one ever gets away with and says and claims to be getting away with it. Right. We don't believe it.
So, right. Is there a lot of plowing to be done at this hour? What?
Yeah, I don't.
This is a big farming hour, 10:45 at night?
He's a long haul. No, you know, he's just driving 18-wheeler. Yeah.
Oh, tractor trailer.
Driver,
yeah. Now there's the disconnect.
I don't know why they put tractor in that part.
Poles, huh?
Listen, I guess, but it's, yeah, it's an 18-wheeler.
That's a good point. It's confusing. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah. Seth, that wasn't you, buddy. Somebody should keep that confidence level high. We need you. We need you to create. Yeah. But keep the eye of the nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, before you go to break, I got to read something.
Go ahead.
Speaking of the Eye of the Nerd. Loveline is brought to you tonight by TNT. 40 games in 40 nights. Watch the NBA playoffs on TNT.
All right, now, Drew, I want you to do it. Is
Peter.
Is Peter. Do it, Drew. One more time.
Loveline brought to you tonight by TNT. 40 games in 40 nights. Watch the NBA playoffs on TNT.
Wow.
Wow.
That's extraordinary.
True.
That was a good one.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right, maybe when we come back, Drew, read it to Stewie. And we'll take a quick break. Oh, Seth's going to run out to what I would guess would be a now Hummer with
Brinks
lift
truck.
Kit on it.
Brinks truck.
Brinks truck. And it's probably got the 24s on there. It's probably got the spinners. He's going to go out there. He's going to look for that CD and see if we can't do a little groundbreaking song from the Family Guy CD tonight. All that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alex Borstein in here tomorrow night from the Family Guy. Dear, 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 dear old friend. As well as her husband, who's a old friend of mine. Hope she toes him in. And then Travis Barker and Shanna Mokler is going to be in here on Tuesday from Meet the Barkers. You been watching, Drew?
No.
Travis has got himself a few more tats.
Oh,
and
really?
A couple more piercings.
Where? Did he shave his head, put on a scalp?
He has to roll his eyes back in his head.
Okay.
And you can
eyelids.
Read. You can read tilt.
Nice.
What happened to tilt humor? Too? Remember the tilt? Guy got punched in the face, be tilt on his eyes. Yeah. You kids don't know from tilt humor. You don't know from souffle humor and minor bird humor. Remember the minor bird would talk or the parrot would talk about, you know, what the person was calling the other person, would give the person up?
Yes.
Well, that was my parents' generation. Everybody had minor birds and they would teach them to swear.
Yeah, that was cool.
Some minor birds.
Super edgy. Yeah. Now they teach them to kill and F.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Drew, minor birds in Hawaii, you say?
I think that's where they are still indigenous.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, gotta get over there. Let's talk to Megan. Did I mention that Seth MacFarlane was here tonight from The Family Guy? Sunday night, starting 1 week from tonight, 9 o'clock on Fox. Oh, finally.
Thank God.
That hymen has been waiting to burst for years now.
Jesus.
It's going to be an explosion. Wow. Awesome. Megan?
Yeah.
What's the question?
What's up?
Hi. I just heard you talking about a guy who had a threesome with his wife and his best friend.
Right.
And I was actually, thinking of asking my boyfriend to do that with him and his best friend. And I was wondering why, Drew, you thought it was such a bad idea.
Relationships hardly ever survive that. The kinds of feelings and these are very intimate, very intense situations, and people develop feelings and resentments and jealousies and attachments that they never anticipate. Now, if you're just casually with this guy and you want to try something out, whatever. But if it's somebody you really care about and you're thinking of having a threesome, it means you want to destroy this relationship for some reason, or you need chaos in order to feel comfortable in a relationship.
How about a threesome with you, a female friend of yours, and your boyfriend? Would you go for that?
No, that doesn't sound exciting to me.
Well, sounds a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I would feel way too jealous. I couldn't handle another girl, but, I've been in very intimate situations with both of them. Not, sexual situations, but...
Mm-hmm.
I feel really comfortable with both of those guys, and I feel
two dudes and a chick is called the Beelzebub's trio.
Beelzebub's triangle.
The devil's triangle. What happened to the Devil's Triangle, too? Compasses spinning out of control.
You're a man out of time.
Mind of birds.
Hey, Megan, you think about how your jealousies are. Men are about 10 times more territorial naturally.
Not,
they feel more threatened.
At all.
Oh, I understand he's not, but he, or he's gay, and he's looking for a reason to have a relationship with another male.
No, he doesn't even know about this.
Yeah.
He doesn't even
Gays
know.
Are territorial, too.
It's over each, yeah, yeah.
Their territory is the anus. That's where they plant their flag. Literally plant the flag
but a gay
in the
man,
name of France.
A gay man would not want to have a threesome
True.
With
Remember
man.
When people used to plant flags and say in the name of?
Sure.
That's gone, too. It's all gone. We got nothing anymore.
Glad. We went as far as the moon, and we stopped.
But, Megan, right. These are unhealthy impulses, and if you want to do it, you do whatever you want. We don't care, but we know how destructive these things are for people.
All
if
right.
you insist upon it, that means you come from chaos and need chaos.
Mm.
Yeah, but so you don't think if even do you come I from, think that
do
I
you,
can handle
do you,
it.
Do you come from chaos?
It's true.
All you right. do.
You, so right. you need well, chaos. You
yeah.
need it.
You're getting
so
a little too intimate. It's yeah. getting a little too close.
You're
going to
throw up some heavy stuff.
Break
here.
It up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you'll cheat and then tell him you cheated. And
yeah,
screw
that's the other
up
way. That's the other way you'll do it, Megan.
All right. Either way, don't get pregnant.
Please.
Okay.
Here we go.
Get a little therapy for past chaos, yes?
I'm in therapy, yes.
Great. Talk to your therapist about these choices. You'll find they'll have a similar reaction.
All right.
Okay.
Or see if you can get a
therapy's for losers.
Audrey, please.
Right.
We're going to take ourselves a quick break. Seth MacFarlane, by the way, you telling Anderson not to put that drop
it's
in?
It's coming 50 times now.
Oh, 50. Mm-hmm. That's if he's in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Say more like 150.
Well, if you had said it.
Oh,
come on.
It would have wired into my brain. Seth MacFarlane is here from the Fantastic Family Guy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Therapy's for losers.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth MacFarlane is here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Seth finally being recognized as a genius he's been claiming he's been for all
you've been
these
claiming
years.
He's been, by
yes, that's right. He did some crank anchors. Mm. He was awesome at that. A genius.
No, it was your writers. I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, it was no. No, they're just idiots. They're all mercy hires. It had to be you. Alex Borstein is going to be in here tomorrow night. You know her from Mad TV, and you also know her from The Family Guy. And I also know her from yelling at me in my own apartment kitchen about 15 years ago.
What? Thinking, what?
Who
what?
Is this bitch?
What did she yell at you about?
I don't know, but I can't remember what it was. I've known Alex for
and she was,
you know,
first
13
time you
or
met,
14
she
years.
She was screaming at you?
No, I knew she was trouble before that, but then she started yelling at me in my kitchen.
Oh,
I don't
gotta find out what that was.
Yeah, she seems nice now, but something happened.
Hmm.
Actually, she's one of these people that was smart. You know the people you hear about, they used to be so humble, and then they got a little juice, and
right.
then fame got hold of them and turned them. No, she was bitchy before she was famous. Now she's nice. See, the exact opposite of me, Drew.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Exact opposite.
Smart, because you don't hear this, you know. That's actually a nice story.
It's the fire that drives her immense talent.
That's right. That's just fiery. Yeah.
Yes. Let's proceed with our world premiere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a song or two to play from the Family Guy CD, which is coming out on Tuesday.
Coming out on Tuesday, yeah. This is, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be playing this, but what the hell, it's on,
it's yours.
It's my ass. Yeah. This
and it's distributed throughout the country?
Throughout the country.
Can you get it online anywhere?
I think you can probably order it just on Amazon or get it at your local record store. There is a clean version and a not-so-clean version.
What are we going to hear
tonight?
Is
this the clean version?
This number is kind of the same for both.
He's
this
picked
is
a clean song.
Our extended version of the Family Guy theme.
Mm. So, we ready?
Sure.
You ready, Chris? All right, world
Very
premiere,
exciting.
Family Guy theme. Here we go.
Where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely? It used to be a big-time star was elegant as Garbo or Hedy Lamarr.
But now we get whores like Jenny Lopez. You wanna curl up and die? Laugh and cry.
It's a
Mr. Johnny Mathis and Sonny and Cher.
but now we get Justin Timber homo.
I had it all go awry.
The classic films were works of art. The images were graceful, the stories were smart.
But now we get Matrix Revolution.
I'm sorry, I know this doesn't rhyme, but what the hell were you Wachowski brothers thinking?
Apple pie.
He's a family guy. His smile's a simple delight.
He lets me see the movies on the internet site.
Hey, Doc, he bought me my cute little hat.
Yeah, we should have a talk about that.
Hiroshima, then casually farts.
He's loaded with sexy appeal.
And best of all, real. Ever feel?
No, thank you.
I gave it the office.
The Brady Bunch has got them mic. And pretty Laura Petrie has Dickie Van Dyke. But who around here could fill those loafers?
Well, here's a happy reply. Lucky is a family guy. Lucky is a
and cry.
He's a family guy. He's a family guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. World premiere here on Loveline, Family Guy.
I have a million questions. Do you help with the orchestration of that?
No. That is all Mr. Walter Murphy.
You write the lyrics?
Yeah.
And the melodies are spelled out by these guys, the orchestrators?
We've done it both ways. I mean, there are three ways to do it. I give him a set of lyrics and he'll write a melody. He'll give me a melody and I write lyrics. Or the other way is we come up with a title.
Is doing something that's just the most exciting thing you've ever possibly
It's do. Pretty, there's really nothing, I mean, even doing the show each week, there's really nothing quite as exciting as going in there every week and watching that band play the score for the show. It's pretty spectacular.
Wow. You should tape it, you know, and just use the same one the next week. I mean, actually have a live orchestra. This goes in every week.
It's live.
Wow. I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Even the animation not done in advance.
No.
Awesome.
The first time I heard Stewie said laugh and cry, I thought he said F and cry.
That's been a point of contention for many years, yeah.
It is. I thought the same, yeah. And I came around
to the intrigue.
The censor has actually made us re-record that for the third season to be clearer. Huh. Because so many people thought it was F and cry, and they said, this is ridiculous. Just go back in, make it sound clearer.
Well, just go back and make it F and cry.
Yeah.
It is,
that would be the...
It is. I was listening when it got to that point in this song, and it is crystal clear in this version of it. Seth MacFarlane here from the Family Guy big premiere on Tuesday coming up. The CD's coming out this Tuesday, and then the Family Guy premiere will be on Sunday on Fox, of course. All right, that's a good question. And by the way, do you know Seth and Seth's people were nice enough to send me a Death, which is the character I play on the show, and my dog, which I guess is Jimmy.
That's right. That's right.
And a bottle of beer figurine. It's the action figure.
Wow.
The Death action figure.
There are two versions of that, actually. There's one with his hood off, too.
With his skull.
More limited edition. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
there
yeah.
is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have to get that on eBay.
Yeah.
Signed 28 Death pictures in a row as I was walking in. And the
is
guy
that
said,
right?
Yeah. Said, we'll see that on eBay. And the guy sort of cryptically said, not there, but it's sort of a
somewhere.
I'm selling him a nerd at a comic store in Pasadena. I'm not gonna.
That's always just always sketchy when they say, yeah, this is these are from my family, and they hand you 10 pictures of exactly the same picture, and you're supposed to just sign them.
I'm so appreciative that you don't actually have to put someone's name before you sign your thing. That's like, all right, let's just do this. I'll buy it back from you later on. Gina, you're 25.
Hi.
What's up?
I just had a question for Seth. I'm such a big fan that the call screener told me my original question was too esoteric.
Well, esoteric, but yeah.
Right. God bless you for writing it down.
I'm sorry. So my backup question is, you guys have always been really great at putting celebrity guests on, like Adam Carolla and Will Ferrell and stuff. What's coming up for season 4?
Season 4, well, of course, Adam will be back, and Dr. Drew is also going to be on. Drew Barrymore is going to be on. Robert Downey Jr., James Woods.
Wow. Now, you must have had, this is a show that is sort of a, they have the comedian's comedian. This is the show business guy's show.
Right.
Must be a lot of hip people that are trying to get on. There must be a little pressure. I don't know if you want to embarrass anybody, but there's probably some people you really didn't want to work with that paid to work with you.
Or maybe an easier question.
One of them may be in this room.
I am in the room. What are you talking about? But I do a great Stewie.
It's awesome.
The other question is, are the people that turned you down? So maybe easier way of answering that.
There have been...
turned you down the first time around in our Vegas.
William Shatner at one point turned us down.
Wow.
He did not want to come do the show, so we just did an impersonation.
But
I remember that one. That was a good one.
That was from... that's from first or second season or something like that.
Yeah.
By the way, getting turned down by Shatner is like getting turned down by a fat chick at a prom.
Yeah,
like,
you know, but they took a good shot at him.
Gary Coleman turned us down this year.
Nice.
We were turned down by Gary Coleman.
Nice.
Wow, now he's doing those money line commercials where you have to... All right. Very sad. But who else turned you down? Anyone else? Good.
Did
they turn you down because they read the script and they're making fun of themselves, or?
Well, sometimes a lot of people get they'll come on, but they want to play a character. They don't want to play themselves,
right?
You never know. You never know who's going to say yes. And we had Frank Sinatra Jr. come on and do the show, which was probably the biggest thrill in the world for me.
Right. Not for any of the audience.
Did he sing?
He loved it.
He did, yeah. Yeah.
He sounds like Frank.
He
right?
sings with, it's his Rat Pack episode. He does, yeah. He sings beautifully. But he sings a song with Brian and Stewie, and it was yeah, it was pretty much, I'm like, boy, it doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah.
And Adam West will be back.
Adam West will be back. Mayor West bans gay marriage from the town of Quahog.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome. So, Gina.
Yes.
Well, I hope that helped answer your question.
It did. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you on Sunday. Not actually see you, but... If we could, you'd be watching the show. That's basically what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
What's the first episode?
First episode is sort of a Peter Lois second honeymoon adventure. It's based on kind of roughly based on North by Northwest, the Hitchcock movie, which you don't have to have seen to enjoy it. But there's a scene at Mount Rushmore at the end, and we used all the old Bernard Herrmann score sheets for the.
Awesome,
but it's a big second honeymoon adventure, and it hopefully comes back with a pretty big splash. It's a pretty elaborate episode.
Do you have your pick of the litter, or your pick of part of the litter in terms of which one you show first? I mean, obviously you want to come out with a great episode, but I know from doing shows, sometimes you realize this one's a 5 and this one's a 9.
Well, this one, you know, it pokes fun at Mel Gibson, which South Park did a few weeks after we started, we sent this episode into production, so we were kind of wavering back and forth, thinking, well, do we want to cover the same ground as they did, and we figured, the episode turned out so well that we just what the hell?
So do you, I mean, how many
that's
of these...
That's all that counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as it's funny. Yeah.
How many of these things are in the can, as they say, and how many are you doing?
We're doing 35, and we've finished about four of them. We're editing the fifth, and we're writing the 31st, so that gives you an idea of how long it takes to do these things.
Wow, and how far from the time the 31st is finished to the time it could be ready to air? Not it does air, but it could
finish
ready.
Writing.
It's usually
writing.
Finish writing, you're probably looking at about 8 or 9 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So... And by the way, 35 is a huge. I know it's animated, but it's still a huge pickup.
It's the biggest order we've ever done, and it's a bigger order than. I'm not sure if a show has. Well, I suppose a show must have gotten a 35 order at some point, but not recently. And it's really
not a non-strip prime time, and not a weekly prime time show.
It makes it cheaper. It makes it cheaper. You spread the cost out over more episodes. It makes it a lot cheaper. But boy, it is backbreaking. I mean, we're almost done, and we're just walking around like zombies.
Yeah, you know? I'll tell you, people, Drew, I was just over there on Friday. Yeah. The nerves are frazzled over there. There was only three guys playing ping pong.
Oh, my God, you're kidding. Anybody golfing?
One of them had his shoes on.
Foosball?
No. He was wearing flip. Oh. He had shoes on.
No!
Yeah,
my God, humanity.
Everyone's on edge. Everyone is out of their mind over there. Yeah, it's tough.
Oh,
tough
it's crazy.
Sledding.
Crazy.
Yeah,
is that the same crew that you've been with you for the most part, the core people?
For the most part, I mean, we've had people. You know, every time the show gets canceled, we lose some writers, and you know, we're always able to assemble a portion of the people who've done it before.
Yeah.
You know, so we always joke that like if we keep getting canceled and picked up again, eventually every writer in town will have written on Family Guy at some point. But,
yeah, you'll and you'll be like one of those bands like the Coasters, where they don't have any of the original people anymore. But
like,
you're still
like Menudo. We just
Manhattan
keep changing
5.
It up.
Yeah, like what
is it? The Manhattan
that guy's
transfer.
Yeah, that guy's a temptation. He's 26 years old. They had hits in the 70s. Yeah,
Menudo.
Yeah, Papa's here. All right. Well, that's. Let's take some more phone calls here, Drew. Yeah? Porn, yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yep, that's right.
What's up?
Well, I can't come for the life of me, to put it bluntly, during sex. But, you know, a good 30-second clip of porn, and I'm set.
So are you nervous when you're 18? Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Yeah, actually, I'm bi, so I've had both.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so the last time...
It's the night.
I'm uptight, dude. Open your mind. What are you going to say? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, all right. What? You're bi.
Yeah.
But bi, you know, means a few things to us, callers.
Yeah.
It either means sexual identity confusion, meaning some sexual trauma in childhood, or it means that you're on your way...
Yeah,
evolving into another.
You're saying bye to heterosexuality. That's what I hear when I hear bye
bye
bye bye bye bye bye bye vagina. See you later.
Hello.
I'm not going to miss you. Yes.
Pretty much,
remind me of my mom. Bye bye. That's what bye is.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
So you're gay.
You're going to be gay.
Yes, I'm gay. I'll admit it. I'm gay.
All right. Do you ejaculate when you're with men?
No. And the last I actually remember coming during sex, it was with a girl. And it was actually the same time I contracted herpes.
Yeah. Mm. And the pornography you watch, what kind is that?
It's gay.
All right. Have you been with a relationship with a male?
I'm sorry?
Have you been in a long-term relationship with a man?
Yeah, I have actually almost 7 months.
Hmm. What's his name? Bruce? That's the name that all the gays used to be good Bruce humor, too. You know? Bruce!
If this
Bruce
is true, you don't need to go
Bruce's
to jail, buddy.
Yeah.
Aren't that many Bruces anymore.
It's no longer gay. It's not a gay name anymore.
That's because you don't have a baby and look at it and say, oh, let's call him Bruce.
Yeah, nobody does that.
But yeah, Joe, I don't quite understand. Do you have a sexual trauma history growing up?
No, except for like a premature exposure to porn, maybe. But I mean, that wasn't traumatizing.
Yeah, so. Unless you're gay. No, and why are you having?
Well, you have a boyfriend, right?
Yeah,
and with him, you can't quite get it going.
Well, I get it going, and I get to that point, and it's great. It feels great, but then like I just can't, you know, get up over the hill.
Maybe you need a more powerful anal popper, because I know you guys, I know they use the anal poppers.
Nice, Adam. Good advice.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
What do you guys say? How can you
We're all named up? Bruce, and they use those anal
Hang on 1 second. Let me grab a pen. how do you spell that?
It'd be marvelous. How about mutual masturbation? You ever tried that?
Oh, yeah. I masturbate, I can do it. But
so it, when it's mutual, when it's independent, you're... Mm.
Well, what doesn't work? Oral?
Oral hasn't worked. Anal hasn't worked. But him jerking me off doesn't work. It's got to be me by myself, which gets, like, boring for him. And he also thinks I'm holding back at times, and I'm not. Yeah. I tell him it's a mental thing.
All right.
It is a mental thing.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. But I can't quite, in the few moments we have here, I can't sort it out.
Well, by the way, you can pop in a little gay porn, because news is you're with a gay guy, and they love
it's gay, it's a guy and he's gay, therefore he's on for the same thing.
Yeah, there's no, you're not going to offend his delicate sensibilities.
Yeah, there you go.
Just go ahead and pop in some gay porn.
There you go. But it says something about the proximity of a person is what's getting him, inhibiting him.
And, we've
not a people person.
We've spoken in the past about how repugnant gay porn is to straight guys, and not because we're gay phobic or we're uptight or anything, but when straight guys see graphic depiction of gay pornography, they have to avert their gaze, spelled differently.
And I brought up, we haven't talked about it in a while, but it's the same feeling as thinking about your parents having sex.
Yeah,
same feeling.
Yeah,
same
although feeling. That would be walk in the park compared to
no, it's just the same feeling. Though. It's the same kind of a
It's like sort of it's a question of why did I have to see that? Why are they doing this?
Yeah,
and,
right.
I got to throw up and masturbate. Yeah,
why is father hurting mother?
That's right.
Leave her alone.
That's right. And that's why I say, and
like
I should be able to sue. Drew, that was awesome.
Yeah, I told you.
I would. I believe there should be straight porno stores and gay porno stores, and not they shouldn't mingle. They shouldn't commingle the two.
Both parties.
Or if they do, have that big, orange Caltrans cone between the two, because there's nothing worse than when you're walking along the aisle and you're just perusing. And by the way, you have to look straight ahead, because you can't have your head on a swivel. You're going to spot somebody you know or somebody recognizes you. And if you make contact with someone, you can't say anything. So there's no pardon me. There's not just sort of brush on them, and it's weird and uncomfortable, but people know to stay in their shell. And so you're walking, and you have blinders on. You're looking at two video boxes, maybe two and a half, most, and you go from the weird toe fetish stuff, and then the orgy stuff, and then the black on white stuff, and then into the big jug stuff, and then all of a sudden there's oh, what's going on here? Oh, it's four dudes and a dude. Oh my god, no. It's like, oh, they're really giving it to that chick. She's got a mustache. No. And now you're ruined. And I'm just saying, you got to put a cone up. You got to do something.
Well, what's interesting is, why don't gay men feel the same thing about heterosexuals?
I wish it'd be nice. You know what they need? You know what they need? If they're going to have the gay department at a adult video store or bookstore, they need to have it like where they have the smokers at the airport.
A gate. Yeah.
Put it in a little Lucite cabin in the back. Let them all go in there and do what they got to do. I don't have to worry about going. Like when you're in the airport, you don't mistakenly slide through the smokers terrarium, do you? Mm-hmm. No, it's just a bunch of desperate people. I like in Vegas when they put a slot machine in with the smokers.
Of course.
Yeah, now it's like two-fisted fun. But the point is put the gay stuff. You know what you need to put around? That Lucite thing they put around the drum kit. And when a band's up there, just put that around. You know that thing?
Yeah.
That Lucite-y thing?
Sure.
Put that around the gate.
You got like a million patents in you.
Yeah, really. Drew, why aren't you writing these down? Okay, go ahead.
Should I read this? Should I read it straight? Loveline brought to you tonight.
Why don't you read a straight one and then read one like Stewie.
Okay. Loveline brought to you tonight by TNT. 40 games in 40 nights. Watch the NBA playoffs on TNT. Now, Stewie?
That is awesome. Now, Stewie? Do it like Stewie.
It's extraordinary how he does this.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
Loveline brought to you tonight by TNT. 40 games in 40 nights. Watch the NBA playoffs on TNT.
Drew, that is amazing.
Wow. Yeah, I like that.
That is good.
Wow.
And
I did that for my kids.
That's coming from the guy who does Stewie.
I know.
Spectacular.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's not coming from the guy who thought he got third place in the contest.
Imitation is the best, one of the most sincere forms
of flattery. Awesome. All right.
I'll do my John Madden next.
We will take ourselves a little break. Seth MacFarlane, the engine that drives the Family Guy in tonight. We'll be right back after this. The Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Seth MacFarlane is in here tonight from The Family Guy. Tomorrow night, Alex Borstein will be in here from Mad TV and The Family Guy. And she's also doing some writing, right?
She is, yeah. She is. She's a writer on the show, which is a very handy thing to have, both of us in the room together. Actually, most a lot of the voiceover actors are also writers on the show.
Yeah, I was noticing, I don't know what credits or what thing I was looking at, but I was noticing that a lot of the writers also did voices on the show, or I don't know which came first, the writer or the egg, but it's kind of convenient to have everyone under the same roof playing ping pong all day.
Foosball.
Foosball, too. Oh, I'll tell you, it's what people in the Midwest think the California workplace is.
Looks like.
Yeah, it just looks like there's no work getting done.
No, there isn't. Actually, isn't. And you got to get people hip to what floor you're on, because I went to four or five different floors before I actually landed on The Family Guy on Friday. I was told to go to this
the
one.
The fact that the life-size versions of the family sitting out there was not your clue.
Yeah. Well, when the door opens,
the big Aaron Spelling logo on the wall.
I did go to the Aaron Spelling. It's like floor five, and then there's another like media thing, and then there's a million vans for Mexican radio stations. Frightening. What do those people have? Like they have an attention deficit disorder? Are they all like glaucoma or something? What goes on that everything has to be so loud? Like a pinata, you know what I mean? Like an explosion of color and sound all the time.
Cannot judge. It's culture.
Hey, it's culture.
Judge.
All right.
Can't even say anything about it.
All right.
How dare you?
All right. Terry?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's
I
up?
I have a couple of questions for Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first things first. Seth, I saw you on Adult Swim, and you are so hot.
Oh.
You have the most gorgeous
Stop
eyes.
It. You're very kind. You haven't seen me with my glasses. Big Woody Allen frames. They're terrible.
But you're so hot.
Yeah.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind. Where the hell were you when I was in high school?
When you were 17, exactly.
She was not going to be born for another 13 years. That's where she was.
Your friends were beating me up. That's what was happening.
That's right. Your dad's friend. All right. So what do you got to say, Terry?
Okay. I was curious if you remember my uncle, Roy Allen Smith.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. Very, very talented director. Yeah.
Oh, that's your uncle?
Mm-hmm.
He directed some Family Guys?
Yeah. Actually, first and second season, like before we got canceled the first time.
Wow.
Is he still okay?
I think so. Is he not?
Yeah, I don't get to see him often because he lives in Cali, but...
All right. So what's your question tonight, Terry?
And, I was wondering how you would get to be a voice actress, especially on maybe one of your shows.
Especially on that. Huh?
Mm.
You can call another. You can do what I did. Call everyone you know and have them bug Seth.
Or just cut right to the quick and start performing oral.
The first thing to do is develop a many, many deeply rooted psychological neuroses. Once you're past that point, There's really no quick, easy way to get into that. That's one of the toughest businesses to get into. The only reason I'm doing it is because I created a show, and it's interesting. That's I remember seeing Harold Ramis at one point talking about how he couldn't get work as an actor, and so he started writing movies, and he would put himself in them, and that was the only way he could get it. It's very difficult. I mean, the best thing to do is to make a demo tape with as much variety as you can put together and send it to as many agents as you can find. I mean, that's...
Saying basically marry a rich guy. It's over 17.
We had the woman that does Bart Simpson on the show years ago.
Nancy Cartwright, yeah.
And she said she went and lived with... Who's the guy? Dawes Butler.
She lived with Dawes Butler.
She lived in the back house and studied with him or something. Remember that story?
Well, she was nuts. I remember sending her out immediately.
She did a quick draw McGraw and stuff, and he sort of coached her on all the different ways to do this.
And I think she said it was like a summer or something she lived with. It wasn't like for a long time.
God.
Yeah, that wild?
Well, Terry, what do you do? Do you have some voices?
A little bit. I have a little girl voice.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
You made my...
All right. We know you've been molested, and you've got the gig.
Uncle molested. Oh, wait a minute, Seth.
What else you got?
Something really high-pitched like this.
All right.
I have a little bit of a British accent.
All right.
Not bad.
I need a Bart's Aunts.
Oh, yeah.
Selma.
Patty and Selma.
Can you do a little of that?
Do what?
Do you do any ones we've heard of? Do you do anyone on TV?
It's a little bit hard for me.
Yeah.
I kind of sound like Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but I doubt you guys have heard of that one.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
We know him well.
I've heard of that.
He's coming in tomorrow.
Go ahead.
Adam Mateo. I don't know.
Is it Scottish sounding? All right, listen.
Not that.
Keep
good.
Working. I perfected Suey in front of a mirror.
Yeah, there was many, many hours of staring at himself in the mirror.
Listening to tapes.
Drew tells me he used to fill his bathtub half full and then would line it. Just leave his nostrils out of the water and breathe through it that way with the tennis ball in his mouth in order to train his diaphragm.
I told you about that?
You did.
Wow.
Yeah, you were loaded.
Anyway. Very, very
methodical. You told me about that.
It's embarrassing.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about voiceover work. Stop me if I'm wrong. There is a little luck of the draw in it. It's almost a little like super talented soap opera acting, which is if you got there first and you're good and you got it on the ground floor. And I mean, here's the reality. Most gigs, probably with the exception of, Peter Griffith and Homer Simpson, a few like that, most of them you could plug somebody else in and get a pretty good performance out of them. I mean, everybody I was at the Acme Theater with or the Groundlings Theater with, every single person, with the exception of me, would actually do a really good job at almost any voiceover gig they had. Yeah. And so then it's who gets there first and whose show takes off and that kind of stuff. It's got to be a tough way to plan on making a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should plan on acting, and you should plan on writing, and you should plan on doing other things. And if the voiceover, now it sort of seems like the voiceover stuff, which used to be a specialty, is now going toward actors and writers and people that are in the business.
Well, yeah, I mean, most people, I think, like to not confine themselves to one, you know, just to do as much as, you know, to do on camera work, to do voiceover work as much as they can get, and, you know, whatever, you know, it's like, as you say, luck of the draw, whatever winds up getting them the most gigs, then.
It's just been really tough unless you were just sort of crazy, like one of these legendary guys that we spoke of, like Winchell or what's his name? The guy does Bugs Bunny.
Mel Blanc.
It's very clicky, too. The voiceover world is very, very clicky. Like, there's a handful of people who
get
all the work, and it's not necessarily a good thing, but it's
tough work too, because I just did some voiceover work for Seth, and he's
demanding.
He's so demanding. I don't think you're going to make the cut. Like I go like, all right, I had like six words, and I'll give you three. You always do three. You never do four. You never do two, but you do three. You know what I mean? That three-take thing?
Yeah.
And so you do that, wow, this party sucks. Wow, this party sucks. Wow, this party sucks. And then you hear Seth go, all right, that's great, it's perfect. And you go,
see you later.
What? One of them was like a five, but the other were clearly threes. No, I think we got it. And it's like, okay, it's not...
Well, oftentimes we'll build, you know, we'll take the first half of number three and the second half of number one.
But they're all number twos.
Believe me,
that's
Adam,
what I was saying.
You don't leave that booth until I've gotten exactly what I want.
All I'm saying is I, with my low self-esteem, leave and think, all right, he's decided he's not going to...
Use
not going with it. Yeah. Death is going to get his own sickle. All right. Let's take ourselves a... So you're on 31 of... Oh, and then you got to... you're on 30... You're writing 31 out of 35.
Right.
and you'll be record. What, and you finished four.
Adam was so how many more times five. Going in there.
Yeah, death and death is a meaty. Look, I don't like to brag about death, but I'll tell you some of career wise, the biggest, most favorable notices I've gotten was doing death on the Family Guy. People are fans of death. I never thought I'd say that.
Oh yeah,
huge death fans, and you have the figurine for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You got to get me in there for a juicy death roll.
I know. We've been searching for that. You know, the last death story we had was the one where he takes Peter through his own past, and that's that was
powerful.
That was was second season. He appeared a couple times third season, but we have yet to land on that great fourth season death story. But we'll
focus.
No, I need to be the dog though. Now Jimmy's too big for that.
No, that's the point.
A dog, or maybe the anti-death. So in some way, I conflict with you.
Listen, here's the thing about Jimmy. His kids are huge.
I know, of course. You have to
Family Guy fans. As a matter of fact, Jimmy was at the live presentation over at the
Wiltern.
Wiltern last Friday, and the kids are nuts about it. So they would be angry if they took Jimmy off as death dog. And he would be, you could definitely get him in there to do more death dog. So
maybe I could be death's door.
Ooh.
Knock on death's door.
Yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Seth MacFarlane is here tonight from The Family Guy, of course. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Seth MacFarlane here tonight from Family Guy. Coming back to Fox. And, boy, Fox is pumped because they've been talking about it for quite some time. Family Guy finally coming back for good, we hope, this time. Sunday nights, 9 o'clock, a week from tonight. And then a big Family Guy CD being released on Tuesday, a couple days from now. That big band, big score, big fun. We'll play something else. I had to just write liner notes. I really should. Big band, big score, big fun, says minus 7
stars. Hey, I'm excited.
Corolla. Yeah. We will hear another song off of that. And first time to play a little Germany or Florida. This is a game that is sweeping the nation. All bizarre activity emanates from either Germany or Florida. I think Germany is the Florida of Europe, and Florida is the Germany of the United States.
There you go.
If somebody's cut somebody's pickle off and fried it up and eaten it and videotaped it, it happened in either Germany or Florida. So, Eric, you tell us the bizarre story, and we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead.
All right. 27-year-old woman has given birth as part of an exhibition in an art gallery in front of dozens of spectators. Ooh. It being her first child, the baby girl was delivered at a DNA art gallery. The 29-year-old father said before the birth, "It's a gift to humanity, a once-in-a-lifetime thing," called the experience an existential work of art. The manager of the gallery said the couple wanted to challenge conventional norms. A bit of a test to see if society can cope. Some 30 members of the public were contacted when she went into labor.
Wow.
Germany.
Yeah, that sounds
Germany
very German.
Germany has a rich history of this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from the Bauhaus days on forward.
Oh, to Mengele. It just keeps going and going. Yeah, they like to experiment. They're
that
off
is
on guard.
Florida.
No, Florida, no. If you'd said, you know, easy lube given birth, I would have said Florida.
Or they,
you know,
ate the baby, or is it something weird or something? You know.
No, just, yeah, given birth, you know, in the back of a squad car.
Yeah.
Given birth on a flagpole. Flagpole setting? Huge.
Dodo.
Went the way of the dodo. So we're going Germany on this one. That sounds too easy.
Yeah. That's what worries me.
We're going Germany. Seth, what do you think? Germany or Florida?
I'll go with Germany, yeah.
All right,
seems to be the...
Stewie, where do you go? Where do you go?
You know, I'm going to say Florida, just to be a bitch.
Oh, really? Peter, where do you go with?
What? I'm sorry?
Brian, what do you say?
I'm too far in the bottle to even know what the hell the question is.
And Don Rickles? Maybe, you know, seemed like he could do that. No? All right, he's going hockey puck. Eric?
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
Well, Stewie lost. It's Germany.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you know what? No, you know what? He didn't lose. His answer was just different. Different from yours. You know, everybody's right, everybody's wrong.
That's
right.
Hey,
Adam.
Yeah.
Could you guys play Ace's Mexican Ranchero according to Countdown tonight?
Wow.
Not tonight.
Well, oh, we will play that, though. We should play that soon. I don't know if
we have just enough time to play a song.
Engineer Chris is equipped.
Aces Ranchero Countdown. No good. You don't like that game.
Is that this game is how far into a random Ranchero song just queued up in a random spot before how long before we hear the accordion? The average is under 3 seconds.
Under three, wow. Easily. Yeah.
Do you have anything?
Actually, I have the Family Guy CD ready. So.
Oh, you do? I can't play the both.
Right, yeah.
Couldn't have two of those. All right. Well, let's
hear
something.
It's a radio station. Yeah, two CD players. How dare you?
Yeah. Let's, what do you think this is? Your living room?
Sure.
Come on. Let's hear a little something off the second cut off the Family Guy.
This is Quagmire singing with the great Patti LuPone, who some of our more Broadway-minded singers will recognize.
Enjoy.
Baby, you were crazy if you thought I loved you, 'cause the Q-man loves nobody but himself.
I never knew how twisted a fella could be.
Hey, I guess it's good I never told you I'm into pee.
Don't you ever listen to your inner conscience.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe, I wasn't listening. What?
You really are a total scum. If only you could see the man that you've become.
Baby, you were crazy if you thought I loved you, 'cause the Q-man loves nobody.
You really love nobody.
And boy, I mean nobody.
And boy, you mean nobody.
But my own sweet flippin' self. All right, look, whatever your problem is, just get it off your breast, chest.
I thought you gave me your heart.
Gave you VD, isn't that enough?
You said that we'd never part.
Oh, I was just kidding.
You gave me your lover's vow.
Ha! If you really thought I meant it, you ought to get your head examined right now.
You told me you'd never stray.
Well, that's because we hadn't had sex yet.
And then you just walked away.
Ain't I a stinker?
Your attitude really stank.
Look, you don't need to be a genius to see that I was giving you the yank-yank.
What else did you BS me about?
Well, since you asked, remember when I said that I was going down the block to grab a couple boozers with a pal?
Yeah, you had a friend from college that you had to meet.
Nah, I was at the women's shoe store looking at feet.
What?
Remember when I said I had a dental checkup? Well, let me say that I give quite a root canal. All right.
You promised me that you'd be true.
Hey, to me, you're just vagina number 602. Baby, you were crazy if you thought I loved you, 'cause the Q-man loves nobody.
You really love nobody.
And boy, I mean nobody.
And boy, you mean nobody.
But my own sweet flippin' self.
What do you have to say for yourself, you slime?
Can I just squeeze your left a little bit?
Most insensitive man I've ever met.
Oh, that's not true. I got feelings same as the next guy. Well, last week my grandma died. I was really upset.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So how about a hand job? 'Cause the Q-man loves nobody.
You really love nobody.
And boy, I mean nobody.
And boy, you mean nobody.
But my own sweet flippin'.
Wow. Another great tune from Seth MacFarlane and the good old folks over there at the Family Guy. Wow, that's awesome.
It turned out good.
Oh. Yeah. No, that's nice. I mean, creatively, Seth and I walked out to his armored car where he keeps these things. And he said he was just really happy with the way the product came out. And then it's sort of a win, lose, or draw. I mean, you want everything to be super successful and make everyone lots of money. Yeah. But you feel good about it, you can move on to your next one.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
Awesome. All right, let's, again,
that experience with a big orchestra.
Like, it was pretty exciting. It's the biggest band we've ever worked with, and it was pretty spectacular to watch.
That's, by the way, coming to a store near you.
I think there's a Family Guy musical ahead.
Oh, yeah.
It's been talked about. We've been presented with the idea from two separate companies, and we, it's just time. We just haven't,
Yeah. Well, you go, I say bigger than a musical, On Ice.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Giant big Peter head out there.
Would you do an animated movie musical, or would you do a theatrical production?
You know, I mean, certainly an animated movie musical would be the ideal situation. I mean, it was interesting to be presented with the idea to do a Broadway musical, because you think, well, gosh.
How would you do?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. I mean, it would have to be, you'd have to cast somebody who is, you know, looks and sounds like Peter, yeah. and Stewie would be the tricky thing. I mean, you'd have to get like a David Hyde Pierce or something to
right.
put on a pair of red overalls and
right.
you know, walk around on his knees.
And make that great sound when he ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exactly.
You know, my favorite Family Guy episode besides Deathless is gotta be the one where Stewie wants to go kill his nemesis Sperm.
Yes.
Oh,
The Fantastic Voyage.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Wally Shawn.
Yeah.
That was just a... Now, do you have a favorite? And don't give me that crappy, they're all my
last
kids'
time,
things.
Last time you said that one. He actually... And Brian, when Brian finds his mother is the other
the
one.
Musical,
that's my favorite.
The musical
yeah,
Brian,
that's...
when Stewie and Brian take on the road is a great one, too.
Yeah, that's always... That's always been one of my favorites. That was sort of the you know, peak of... that was kind of where we hit our stride, and hopefully we're still going from there.
The road, you mean
the
Crosby and Hope road buddy one?
Road to Rhode Island, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. And what about my Sperm one? You like that one, too?
Well, yeah, you know, I like your Sperm one.
Mm-hmm.
I like your Sperm one.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, Death Lives?
No.
All right, well, apparently not enough to bring back for more Two Lines. Or maybe it's a 5 and under thing.
Maybe it was the guy did the voiceover, I don't know.
Ooh, making fun of Norm? We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank dear friend Seth MacFarlane for
thank
coming in tonight.
Thank you so much.
Always a delight, Seth.
Always a delight, indeed.
You can find The Family Guy 1 week from tonight, Sunday.
Very excited.
Fox, 9 o'clock. Excited. Drew and I are going to be at the big kickoff party. Mm-hmm. And then The Family Guy CD, the musical, will be released this Tuesday.
Live in Vegas.
Get that. So... until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Why is father hurting mother?
That's right.
Leave her alone.